No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/hailmary for your free online visit. hims.com/hailmary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Blue Kool-Aid Drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back, and we are better than ever because we are heading into week 10 of the NFL season, and the Lions are going to be on the road at Washington. We're going to be previewing that game. We're going to be breaking down what we think of the Lions' trade deadline moves, a.k.a. zero, and then just some updates on the injury report and some thoughts on the opponent for the week. But before we break it all down, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. We got the whole crew here tonight. Let's start with Bob.
Hello, everybody.
Run Dog.
Yo.
UJ.
Greetings.
I forgot to name myself Big Z, and then we got producer Kid J off to the side as well. He'll give some of his predictions and maybe some other insights that he passes along throughout the episode. All right. The Lions, they stand pat at the trade deadline, do absolutely zero moves. Meanwhile, you got the Colts trading 2 first-rounders for Sauce Gardner. The Cowboys almost trading 2 first-rounders, if you will, for Quinnen Williams of the Jets. And then there was, like, Taylor Petting went to the he's a tackle from the Saints, went to the Chargers. Rashid Shaheed, the wide receiver with the Seahawks. So there's, like, several moves on this trade deadline day. It was one of the more active ones in recent memory. I think it was the third most active of all time in terms of amount of trades done on a single day. Anyways.
For the Lions.
Yeah. Bob, the Lions make no moves. Your thoughts, good, bad, even?
Well, like I said in the last pod, we were doing our predictions. Because at first I was thinking no trades, just because Brad doesn't tend to do that, especially a splashy trade. Then I was hoping when Mahogany got hurt that they would actually get an offensive lineman. But The fact that they did nothing does not surprise me and doesn't really concern me because it's kind of what they're doing. From a fan perspective, I was hoping they'd do something.
Right, DJ?
Yeah, same way. I mean, I was really hoping they'd beef up that O-line, find a free agent there or possible trade. But I just think they're so reluctant to trade away draft capital. I think, I don't know, Brad's in love with drafting, I think, a lot, and developing their own players, which I get. But when you're in that Super Bowl window, I think sometimes you got to take a chance and try to beef up your roster a little bit. And there's no doubt, I think right now we could use it as much as they're confident in their own guys and everything like that. I mean, I think our O-line could use a little a little reinforcement. But hey, you know, they're pretty confident in their guys, and we'll see what happens, man. They step up, and I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens.
The only time they're comfortable trading away their draft capital is during the draft.
The Tesla thing, they give up like
three. Right, Manu, et cetera, Gibbs. Yeah. So,
yeah.
That's interesting that they don't do it for like at the trade deadline historically. I mean, Rud Dog, your thoughts?
Well, I get where everyone's kind of coming from wanting resources, but all you got to do is listen to the Dan the Man talk. He loves his guys, and they're not going to make a move unless they really feel like it checks out all the boxes and is going to improve this team. So if you think you know better about who should be added to this team than Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, then, you know, by all means, share your opinion. My feeling is it's probably going to be way off the truth. So I trust these guys. They know what they want. They know what they have on this team. They know who they got. Like Dan keeps saying, he's got guys in the hopper for this O-line. Are you, UJ, are you saying they messed up by not signing some guy from, you know, another team to get in there? I don't think so. I think they know. I trust them.
Hey, we do know better. That's why we're doing this podcast, because we hope that they'll listen to us and do what we want.
Damn it. You know, like, listening to – that's what this podcast is all about. Is
it's all we do this for. The reason, make our team better. Hope they listen to us.
I think what I'm a little confused about is the Lions have, like, some of the most cap space.
You are saying Dan Campbell and Brad are wrong on this. Okay, good to know.
I'm confused by their strategy a little bit because they have all this cap space in the current year. So if they're not going to use it on a trade for a – like. During the current year, like for a Hendrickson, who's like on a 1-year deal, not going to pay next year, won't cost any dead cap money. Why have that space? Why not just front? Why not just put some of those bigger contracts in this year to offload the hurt down the line? So I don't really quite get what they're doing in that regard, I guess.
Yeah,
well,
here
that they would have to have the person there to do it too. I mean, not just somebody who can afford, but someone who would actually. They believe would help the team.
Well, maybe right.
Why not restructure Goff's contract a little more to have it be a bigger hit this year or like future years down the line? You know, that's what I don't understand that strategy.
Another
that's
key
I mean.
Phrase that Dan Campbell throws out there is that him and Brad have a long-term vision for this thing, and they're not just going to blow it up because of people getting finicky around the trade deadline and being worried about this team. Like they know what they believe in what they have. And they believe in what they're building, and they're not going to, you know, throw TNT at the foundation of it while they're making it happen.
That's kind of an extreme read of picking up one guy for a small contract.
Well, I mean,
deadline.
Everyone
gonna
wants
to blow it up. Yeah. It's going to blow up the foundations. What are you watching, V for Vendetta or something? You got the mask on, and you're in the canal dropping bombs down there. I don't know what they're doing. We're just talking about football, man. Blowing up foundations.
I mean, I hope that Lock the Bridge includes
you
winning a Super Bowl.
So.
I mean, the draft picks are important for this team. So I guess we understand the move. It would have been maybe an offensive lineman. That's about it. We weren't expecting anything crazy like what the Colts did, for instance.
Yeah,
which I think the Colts really overpaid for that.
It's about the draft picks, but it's about who they have now. They believe in what they have on this roster. So I think that's something I really think should be stressed is that they aren't just doing it because they don't love their draft picks. They only want guys that will upgrade them for sure. And
it could be because Brad knows that rookie fifth rounder Miles Frazier,
is
on the way back. Yeah. We haven't seen him yet, so
and, you know, and you're wrong too. They picked up an offensive lineman, you know, who is
to the practice squad.
Yeah, I know. Well, he was undrafted. And he played next to Mahogany in college. You know, Conlon, I think his name, good Irish boy. You know, I mean, got to be good, right? I don't know.
Maybe. Well, he played in the preseason for the Patriots. He was okay.
He's huge. Huge guy.
Then he was cut by another team. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head without having it pulled up. And then picked up by the Lions here. So he must be staying in shape at least. I think pinning all the hopes on Miles Frazier is a little extreme to solve all their issues and offensive line. But that seems to be the online sentiment at least. Like,
Miles Frazier is going to come save
the day here.
I love Graham, but well, I mean, actually, it's not even Graham.
He hasn't even practiced, and he's a late draft pick. So
yeah, but what did Mahogany do last year? He came out of injury like halfway down the season and was like a revelation going into the playoffs. So I mean that's a potentiality here that we just saw happen. I'm not the expectation of
that's
it happening
fair.
might be a little extreme, but like I mean they like what they saw in the kid.
Let's not forget during the draft they were looking at Frazier from the second round on. They kept wondering if this guy was still going to be around, and he was around, and he's like, hey, how about this kid from LSU? How about the kid? Or, like early in the draft they were talking about him. And he somehow fell down to whatever round they got him in, fourth or fifth round. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, so they like this kid from the get-go.
Oh, yeah, not denying that.
He's got.
I'm just
tools.
Saying the pin the hopes high on this guy is a little extreme. Bridge.
Pinning the hopes, I agree.
See,
it's not.
You need to drink more Kool-Aid. Yeah. More Kool-Aid.
Well, if
he
want to drink Kool-Aid.
If he gets injured that first game back, he'll be like, Down goes Frazier. Down.
You beat me to the punch on that.
I was
trying to use that line somehow.
You might have done it more elegantly than I did, but I did.
Well done.
Well, if we want some positive news to react to, Josh Pascal's back. Practicing.
He's
back practicing. They opened up his 21-day practice window. I imagine it'll take his time. But any news is good news because there's been almost no news on Pascal for the longest time. So,
yeah,
it sounded like he was going to be like a month away before this happened, based on like the most recent comments. But then he must have slept on the right side of the bed recently. And
well, that is about a month away, right? If he uses the whole window.
No, but he's a month away from being a month away.
Oh, I got you.
Sentiment.
Yeah, but it also was like a few months ago. It seemed like it was really close to happening, and then it just like disappeared into the ether until just recently.
basically.
So it's exciting, very exciting.
And how about Hassanin? We should be getting him back on the.
Oh yeah, he's getting
pretty soon, right?
I would love to get his some rookie.
Were they talking about like mid-season? Around mid-season, we'd be getting him back on the roster somehow. Whatever shenanigans they pulled up on that one.
Rodrigo, nice. Did Rodrigo play last week? I just
he's in his practice. He's in his practice mode.
He's still in the practice window.
Yeah.
Because he was activated at the bye, right?
Last week, yeah. Last week he was.
So he could have played last week, but he didn't.
Window.
I don't think he'll play this week, personally.
Yeah, probably. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
But if he's, who knows?
He's questionable now, right? Or is he doubtful?
I don't think they have a designation on him. He's just in the evaluation clock. That's all that they put.
Well, Aleem made his a lot shorter than we expected.
Yeah.
This was about 2 weeks. Although we're still waiting for him to show up. So
he showed up pretty good the first game back, Z. I know he struggled a little bit last week, but you're really hard on these guys.
Z, you're such you're just so hard on these guys.
Jeez. It's unbelievable. Yeah. The first game back, he was kicking ass. The second, he struggled.
First game back,
he
had a couple good drives overall. If he faded towards the end of the game, which maybe you expect with his conditioning not being fully back yet. Last game, awful.
He wasn't immediately like.
I just don't know how he gets his head in his helmet sometimes.
That is amazing.
It's like bursting through the like the mask.
He's got like thick hair. He's got a fat, even the heads do it more.
But I don't know. But he's awesome, though. I'm glad he's back. He's great.
I'm certainly glad he's back. I want to see him fully back, like last year back now.
Can't wait to see Pascal back with these guys. We got some.
No practice for Sewell, Decker, or Skipper, or Pat O'Connor, or Kirby Joseph. It seems like Kirby Joseph is probably not going to play this week, even though he was expected to be back already, so the fact he's not is a little interesting, but they're really taking their time.
I'd be okay holding him out a couple more weeks. Get him fully healthy again if that's what it takes. I mean, it's our secondary is doing not too bad of a job right now, even though they're a little beat up. I think we can do without him a couple. I'd rather have him come back at the end of the season healthy, you know what I mean? Like fully healthy.
Yeah, especially if Pats go back, you'll have juice to the D-line to help that injured secondary.
So definitely.
Tarion is kind of trending the right way now that he's back. And like, man, I'm really excited to see him going forward. That was he got his first pick now. I think that's going to just shoot his confidence up too. I'm excited to see his progress now. I think we got a stud there.
Decker, who knows? He's week to week, it seems, with this shoulder that he's dealing with. And he missed 10 snaps last week with a knee injury. So, but the knee is not listed on the injury report, just his shoulder.
He's a warrior, but he ain't a young warrior anymore, unfortunately.
And his shoulder is just like that nagging thing that won't go away.
And apparently, apparently there was some word out that it was broached, the idea of Ragnow coming back, like if he was feeling
better. Oh, yeah, somebody
it was broached on this podcast.
But I guess it's not just on the podcast. I mean, actual real life. But apparently that's not going to happen. So,
that window that door is closed or something. Is it?
Yeah.
Should we do a podcast from outside his house? Like,
wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. Encourage him.
Honestly, I can't believe we could hold on one more year. You know, it's like one more year to keep that line together.
Yeah, just blame suit up 4 weeks before the end of the season, get your bearings for the playoffs, and go. He's probably lost 20 pounds already. That's how
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
yeah,
fast.
True.
Anyways, he's probably fishing on a lake somewhere. I know he's like a big fisherman.
Not getting beat up.
Maybe we can get Dominic Raiola back. I don't know. Maybe what's he doing?
Yeah, there you go. Oh, man.
And Rodrigo has 8 days left in his evaluation window. 8 days. 12 days. He's 8 days into it. Sorry.
I think he's back for Philly, personally. My guess.
I'm fine with that. We need him on special teams.
Yeah, we do. Teams.
Well, the Commanders, on the other end, Jaden Daniels gets hurt. They're down 30 points, dislocates his elbow, so he will not be playing this week.
That was awful, by the way. That was just, that was ugly. Yeah. Really ugly.
It's tough. It's tough. Terry McLaurin, their best wide receiver, probably not going to play. He's barely played this year. He came back and then hurt again. I'd never seen this before. Their starting running back is on the injury report. He's limited. Jack Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt for it. And it says tooth.
Wow.
I don't know if he cracked his tooth or.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got a bad infection and needs like a root canal.
I heard he heard it at Tooth Hurdy.
Your mother would be proud if you came out with that one.
Yeah. Your grandmother would have been proud of you for that, and your grandfather.
So bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Good stuff. Good work.
Yeah, way to go. Way to go, buddy.
They're starting left tackles on injury, but they have a long list of injuries. And they got their ass kicked last week. This is very similar to the Vikings, who also got their ass kicked the week before they played us and came back full force. So.
In that game, though, they held Seattle's run game to very – they really held their run game, even though Seattle torched them on the air. I'm just saying, and our run game, if we want to get that back on track, Washington is pretty good against the run. So
key difference in this scenario, too, is we're coming off a loss. Lions off a loss. I'll take that every day of the week and twice on Tuesday.
We are. And the Lions, Dan Campbell, there was an interesting stat I saw. I got to pull it up here. But first of all, in 3 years, Lions have not lost back-to-back games under Dan Campbell. I'm probably jinxing it by talking about it.
Nah, it's just a fact of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. The number one betting trend in the NFL will be on the Lions this weekend, too. The Lions are 12-0 against the spread in their last 12 games following an outright loss as well, which is hard to do. So, and they are 9.5-point favorites this week. They're 8.5-point favorites in the playoff game last year, and that did not go well.
Who
so,
cares? What?
Points last week.
Why
too.
Did you jump to that game?
Because Z doesn't drink enough Kool-Aid.
I had to talk about the similarities. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you mention that game? That was the last game we played against.
This is a revenge game this week, gentlemen. Whatever. This is a revenge game this week.
Spread. Spread can.
They need this Washington team is hanging on by a thread to the playoffs. Their playoff hopes, and the Lions need to bury them completely this week.
Yes. What's the weather going to be there? Because I think revenge is a dish best served cold.
Ooh. Oh.
Wow, you got rolling today. You're kicking ass. I love it.
And then also revenge against Deebo Samuel because he's on that team now.
That's right.
He's part of that NFC Championship game a couple years ago. Arr.
You know why the Lions are going to win this week? Just because the Commanders are an obstacle in their way and to be dealt with, and that's how they're going to take care of them. Not because they're not going to know all that other stuff. I think some of the guys maybe use it, but the way this team functions, they're more clear-sighted than that. I think Dan Campbell has them all pushing with one mission. That's to win.
Yes.
It looks like 65 degrees and 75% chance of rain.
The rain looks like the morning time, though. It looks like evening.
Chance of meatballs?
So
we'll be okay there then, I think.
November, but it will be a low of 44 degrees. So probably like 50s by the time they kick off.
Should be good. They play on natural turf.
Is there going to be weather? And is there going to be football? Then it's a perfect weather. That's all that matters.
Yeah,
they'll play the game and take care of business.
You want to see perfect football weather?
Look out
any time of the year. Anytime. Look out the window. There it is. Perfect football.
Right. Unless there's lightning, then you had to have a 30-minute delay.
Nope. That's even
perfect
better.
Perfect football weather. Yeah, they're really pussifying the league, you know.
Perfect
like there's there was lightning 10 miles away. We better clear the whole freaking stadium and I'll go wait for 3 hours and start the game again. This is so stupid, this stuff. I don't know what happened to our league, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You just been
hit
the head with lightning multiple times. He's fine.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah. Also not on the injury report is Frankie Louvu, who might be suspended for a game. I don't know if that got appealed or not, but
it got appealed.
He won the appeal.
He did, yeah.
When do people actually win the appeal?
$100,000 fine. So his wallet's. Because
he was good against us last year in the playoff game. He's an All-Pro linebacker.
Good.
Dang.
Play.
Well,
were you hoping he wasn't going to play, Z?
Yes. I know. You don't want that asterisk on the win.
Dan Campbell would be ashamed of you. It's not about asterisks. Yeah. It's about not being worrying about the other team getting injured because we're scared of their good players. No, give us their best players on their best day. That's when we want them because we're the fucking Detroit Lions and we're going to take care of business. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wait, isn't their best linebacker, though, is Bobby Wagner still?
He's fun to watch. He's so good for so long.
35.
He's like the... But he's ageless one. He is so good.
Z, so like when you were watching like your scouting opponents back when you played football, did you like sit there and like hope like their best players would get injured so like you could beat them this week?
No.
Or something?
But like.
Like.
No. I don't hope for injury.
Why?
I don't root for injury.
Were you scared of their good.
No, Z and his boys would go Tanya Harding, the opposing quarterback the night before. He'll tie her under the knee.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
a roof right.
Whatever it takes, man.
Tanya Harding.
I prefer him not if he's injured and not gonna play.
Were you like secretly hoping like they had like a family emergency and couldn't play or something so you could beat him so you could get like I just this mentality like that. Why would you not want their best
player? By the way, that's the player that threw the dirty block on Goff on the interception last year in the playoffs as well. So,
yeah.
There's that.
Yeah.
Good. I hope Goff kicks him in the nuts.
Let's get into our predictions, shall we?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Why
let's
not?
Get into our ever-famous prediction segment. So we got two of them, of course. We're going to start with our roar of the week. That, of course, is the player, coach, person who will have the biggest impact on the game overall. Not necessarily the best stats or anything of that nature. So we're going to go around the horn here. We're going to start with you, Jay. What's your prediction?
Ooh, okay. Wow, this coach is involved in this?
I
said that. Say a coach if you want.
Could be a person. Could be like a random fan in the stands.
Well, I'm not going to say a coach. I'm not going to do it. But I think, we got to do so many things better in this week. The play calling with John Morton. The execution on offense, especially. I'm not as worried about our defense, and Marcus Mariota doesn't really scare me too much. I think our defense is going to have a really good game here. They're going to play well. So my roar is going to be on the offense, and I think what we saw a glimpse of it last week, and it's going to be J-Mo. I think they're gonna just light his wick, man. This week, it's going to happen. He's going to explode in this game for a couple long tutties. And maybe 150 yards pass and something like that. A couple big plays. And I think they're going to try to force the ball to him more, you know, and more slants and curls and things like that for first downs and things. I think they need to. I think the end of that last game showed us that we need to. And it gives us a spark, like Red Dog was talking last week. You know, sometimes you just need that spark. Someone give it. And I think he's the guy to do it. And he can light this offense up, man. So, J-Mo, baby, is going to be my roar.
I feel like all of us.
All right. Like hey, UJ, so he's going to – how many yards total? Because he's going to be passing for 150?
I said about 150. I said around 150.
Passing? How many is he going to have receiving?
Did I say – well, that's what I meant. You know what I meant. Come on.
I don't know. Maybe he thought he was going to throw it again, like in the playoffs.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
More successful.
I have no interest in seeing J-Mo throwing the football.
They should open with that play. Yeah. Same exact play.
Yeah.
That would be ballsy.
I feel like every week one of us at least picks J-Mo.
It does kind of seem that way, but this seems like a good week for it.
Though. All right, Bob.
All right. Well, I'll do a UJ and kind of pick two people, but I won't, because I would pick Hutch, but I'm not going to.
Oh.
But I'm going to go offense. UJ was saying, the Commanders' run defense is pretty good, but our run offense was pretty bad last week, and I think there's a little point of pride on that they're going to try to fix that this week. And with that misty rain or whatever, I think it's going to be Monty who's going to be the big back this week. I think he's going to have a hell of a game. He's going to force some hard yards, and he's going to break a few longer runs, and he's going to get in the end zone. So I see him getting over 100 yards and at least one touchdown. So David Montgomery is my roar of the week.
All right, Monty, full Monty this week.
He's gone full Monty on it.
Red dog. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, there was a short about this guy on our YouTube channel the other day. I think Jack Campbell is going to be continuing his ascent into elite stardom, and I think he's just going to be a regular featured playmaker going forward, and I think he's going to go off this game, and he's going to get a sack or two, get another pass deflection, maybe even an INT in there. All I know is this guy's a monster, and he affects every game in a big way, and that's why this week he is my roar of the week.
All righty, let's
like
go.
That like that.
All right, Kid J, go ahead.
My roar of the week is going to be a guy who I don't think he's a great player, but I don't think he's been quite living up to expectations this year, to be honest. He's fell in a few clutch moments. He dropped a pass last week. Number one receiver. I'm on Ross St. Brown. He short armed like a catch last week that definitely went off his like forearms. He could have definitely caught it, but I think that was a third down or something, second or third down. And so I think he is going to bounce back this week in a big way. Because Marshawn Lattimore is out for the year with a torn ACL. And the Washington defensive backs aren't too great right now. So I think he's going to bounce back in a big way. So he's my roar of the week.
All righty.
Nice.
All right.
All right.
Let's go. Sun God.
Like it.
All right. I'm torn between two here. I'm torn between two. But I'm going to go with a guy I was not praising earlier, but I think this is the week that he picks it up. 1.5 sacks, 4 tackles, which is good for him. Ali McNeil is going to wreck up the middle this week.
Oh!
It's zig and zag.
Wow.
You did the rope a dope.
Didn't see that one.
It's like I tore him down just to build him back up. It's a good podcast. Ali McNeil, man. I think this is the week that where he finally gets it together against an okay offensive line of the Commanders. So, like I said, 1.5 sacks, 4 or 5 tackles on the inside, maybe 2 tackles for loss overall. But that is Ali McNeil, my roar of the week. Mm. I almost went with Jared Goff, but I'll mention my predictions.
Z's doing my thing for you.
All right, so let's move on now to our final segment, the final segment of the podcast, that of course is our ever famous predictions. That of course is the Lions. They're actually 8.5 point favorites now. I'm looking at on the ESPN Bet sportsbook page here. It opened at 3.5. Jaden Daniels is hurt, and it moved 5 points in the Lions' favor. So now they're 8.5. It's Marcus Mariota.
Who's their quarterback going to be?
Who's already played a couple games this year.
Oh, that's right.
So he's not coming in cold. He's actually played okay. He doesn't look that bad for them.
A little bit.
They just don't have a lot of wide receivers.
4 touchdowns.
He runs, though. He loves to run it. So
yeah.
We get a few picks off.
So let's go around. Rudd Dog, going to start with you. What's your prediction for the week?
I got his written down, what I'm predicting he's going to do. I don't know.
Yeah, I like that we all do it.
Oh, are we doing this game? All right. Hey, yeah, I like it. I like it. Oh, let me get a piece
of paper.
I got mine
already.
I got to do this.
I'll show you. It's on the other side.
Yeah. Okay. I'm ready too.
Go ahead, Rudd Dog.
Almost there. Go ahead.
You're up, Rudd Dog.
All right. Well, I do think, there's a sort of a cold perfection drive on this team. I do agree that there will be some extra motivation this week to, get that dish served nice and cold. And I think our defense has really just been playing great, and I think they're going to give hell to this Washington offense. Jack Campbell, our D-line, Hutch is going to get a few sacks. There'll be a lot of those, like, running sacks, where he starts to run, but we already are there and we get him, in the backfield, because that's just the type of defense we have now. And our offense, this is the week we get it together, baby. I agree, J-Mo going to go big. Amon-Ra going to be big. Laporta, Monty, Gibbs. I think it's going to be the Hydra. It's going to be the vision we've been seeing, super explosive, consuming offense that does what we want when we want, to a tune of 98-0. Murder, right. Utter, cold stone, obliteration.
I wasn't even close. 67-3.
I had six love, because you gave a non-football score of that last week, so I thought you'd do it again. Gave a tennis score.
I had 71-3.
What is he?
71-3.
No, you were all too merciful.
No one even close.
I mean, it's the highest score you've ever given out, Red Dog, by the way, 98.
I think so. Which would probably be a world record, I think. NFL record.
It's kind of like a basketball score, but even more.
All right, so Red Dog is 98-0, wow. Lions.
What? But Red Dog, what is that score? Is that your
murder? It's murderous revenge meted out.
What's that word?
Oh, God. 98-0 is my prediction.
All right, UJ.
All right. I'm going to keep it a little more realistic, I think.
Wow. You think you know what
you're... Yeah, it's going to be a good day for the Lions overall. And, I'd hate to bet against them after a loss. This team is too much pride and there's too much talent. And Washington's hurting right now, so... They're just getting ready for an ass whooping. They've already prepared the ice buckets and everything like that, and ice bags and ice packs and the frozen peas and stuff like in their freezer. And they're all getting ready for the aftermath of this game because they're going to get their asses kicked. But the score, I'm putting a more realistic score here, 35-13.
Oh, that's so realistic.
Well, it's more in the parameters of realism, like not in the world that Red Dog lives in. But 35-13, it's going to be a really solid game. J-Mo, like I said, is going to be the star. We're going to be solid in the run game. And I think the run game in the second half is what's going to just put this team away. That's why the score is going to be only 35 here. But, 35-13 is my pre.
All right, UJ. 35-13, Lions from UJ. He's cooking tonight. You're cooking.
I like
it.
Yep.
I am. The Lions are going to be cooking this weekend, too. Yes.
Yeah, he's wearing the Lions chef's hat.
Oh, yeah. There you go. All right, Bob, what is your prediction?
All right. Yeah, I like this game a lot for the Lions. The Commanders / Redskins, historically, they've given us grief over the years, but I think that's not going to happen this week. We're going to have our offense is going to be cooking. Like I said, the run game is going to get going. They're going to concentrate on that. That's going to open everything up across the field. And I think our defense is only getting better every week now, so which will peak in being the best defense by the end of the season here in the NFL.
Super Bowl. Yeah.
So I see, like I said, Monty's going to have a big game. I think Goff's going to be spread the wrong. He's going to protect the ball well. No turnovers from the Lions. And I think the Lions get a couple picks off of Mariota. So I see this a comfortable win, 40-6.
Ooh, now we're talking.
Uh-huh. On the road, beat down, and then the pundits will be like, wait, maybe the Lions are the best team. Well, you know, it'll go from week to week. Yeah,
and their power rankings, they have like Lions 1 or 9 every week. Just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now 40-6 is my prediction.
All right. And by the way, the record 32-16 overall between these two teams. In case I just thrown that out there. So they've doubled up on us, twice as many wins as.
Oh, you mean lifetime against us?
Oh, well.
Oh, okay.
Lifetime, yes. 32-16.
So we owe them 16 times.
All right.
Oh, big time, yeah. So they got 16 coming, probably in a row.
For sure, for sure.
In a row.
All right.
Yeah.
KJ, producer KJ, what's your prediction?
I think the Lions are gonna come out and be pretty mad here. They usually play pretty angry when I'm after like you know, Campbell does his like whole dog and pony show of like, oh, I didn't have the guys prepared and everything like that. You know, we spent the whole summer planning for Green Bay, and you know, if we didn't show up today, guys, I'm sorry, because we were actually looking for Week 2 with Ben Campbell next week, or Ben Johnson next week. It's my fault, guys. You know, we went to a gigantic play, but no. You know, we had 2 weeks prepare for this Minnesota Vikings team that has a second year quarterback that's ahead of his third career start. And you know, I wanted vacation all week. You know, they said we were gonna talk about third down, but we didn't do it third down at all. And then, you know, they're gonna come back, and now they're gonna come back this week and be super duper angry, and they're gonna play with a lot of fire and everything. And you know, just get your team ready each week. You know, just like the Rams do every week. You know, they play. They play and get their teams ready every week. You know, Sean McVay, elite coach, Dan Campbell, right below here.
Except when they play each other, I mean.
So,
who are you impersonating, by the way?
Oh, savage.
Who are you impersonating there?
That was Dan Campbell. You know, he's very downtrodden, you know, reflective
you
Dan
that?
Campbell. He's like, you know, he talks in his very solemn voice. You know, he always talks, you know, when
this
you know,
a solemn
things
voice?
Don't go right.
You make him sound like a half-wit.
Oh, damn. Dan Campbell is undefeated against... No, he's 2-1 against Sean McVay. So, yeah. Well, enough said.
Yeah, well, anywho, so would you like to hear my prediction?
Said. Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
I think the Lions are going to come out... our Lions are going to come out blazing, guns blazing. I think they're going to be very mad and focused, and I think they're going to use this as like a retool, rebuild game for the big matchup against the Eagles next week, which could decide, you know, like the one seed or one or two seed in the conference. And I think they're going to win 34-10. That's my prediction. Oh. And you know what, guys, when revenge comes into play, you just got to throw out the record book. You know, you got to throw out the record book.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, there it goes.
How does he afford them?
There it goes.
Get on Amazon, order another one.
Hey, but KJ, I just want to say that I'm glad you said that Philly and the Lions are the ones playing.
Right,
the first season.
Exactly.
The Rams are not in that picture. So you're finally like admitting that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that good job, KJ. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was good.
This is Dan Campbell talking. Good day.
It really took me a minute to realize you were talking in like a voice. I was like, wait, what's that?
I knew he was doing a voice. I just didn't know whose voice. All right. I'm in a similar vein as Kid Jay. I had 34-13, so close to you, Jay. Almost close to Kid Jay. Just one point off. Or 3 points off, Kid J, 1 point off, UJ. 34-13 Lions. Goff is going to go for 350 yards in this game. Four touchdowns. We'll run one in with Gibbs. That's why I was leaning towards maybe Goff being my roar of the week, because I think he's going to respond in a big way. NDC, the nation's capital, and he's going to own this country of football. I didn't really think that one through, so just sticking with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all sitting here like, what?
Wait.
He's going to plant the flag in the nation's capital and rule the country of NFL football.
And command. Yes.
All right. So enough of my terrible metaphors. But Ooh. We will wrap this up here. We'll be all predicting a Lions victory for Week 10, and the Lions move to 6-3.
Hey, Z, that score 34-10. You gave us. What
was that 34-13, Lions.
What was but what was that?
Oh, my God.
That's my prediction. Thank you, UJ.
Thank you.
Us honest.
Jeez. Golly.
All right.
Where would we be without you?
It was one part of the... It was the last ingredient to the podcast recipe, UJ.
Yes.
All right. So, UJ, what was on the menu tonight? What did you cook with the chef's hat on?
Oh, we cooked up some ribs. I don't know. Okay.
This is a straightforward question.
Wow.
Yeah, I wish you'd...
Call a fort on that joke like halfway.
We're not cannibals here. Right. Just some chicken, I guess.
How about a dope podcast?
There you go. There you go. Okay. All right. We'll wrap it up. Instagram at Drinking a Pukule, Twitter /X and Drinking, Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your predictions for Week 10 here as the Lions travel to Washington, D.C. We, of course, want to thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
The best in
the
biz.
Podcast.
The
best. He does a really good job.
No one's ever going to keep him down.
What was that, Dan? Dan Campbell.
I just can't tell anymore. It's damn
Anyways, Apple, Spotify, Radio Podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. Greatly appreciate that. And, of course, YouTube at DTBK_Lions, or just type in Drinking Bukulades and subscribe to the channel on there. Greatly appreciate that. Otherwise, we'll be back reacting to the game or either on Sunday or first thing Tuesday morning. You get to hear it. So, thank you, everybody, for listening. Go Lions, of course. Have a great weekend ahead. Enjoy Lions being back on the winning track. And last but not least, as always, go
Lions!
Woo! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.